One of my books of illustrations and stories, I found an interesting parody of Luke's Christmas story. We read the story of the shepherds and the Christ child from Luke chapter 2 just a few minutes ago. But this is a little different take on it. Unfortunately, this might be too real for too many people at this Christmas season. It goes like this. And there were in the same country children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, Santa Claus came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And Santa said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which be to all people who can afford them. For unto you will be given great feasts of turkey, stuffing, and pie, and many presents, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the presents wrapped in bright paper, lying beneath a tree adorned with tinsel, colored balls, and lights. And suddenly there will be with you a multitude of relatives and friends praising you and saying, Thank you so much, it was just what I wanted. And it shall come to pass, as the friends and relatives have gone away into their own homes, the parents shall say to one another, What a mess to clean up. Let us go to bed and pick it up tomorrow. Thank goodness Christmas only comes once a year. And they go with haste to their cold bed and find their desired rest. I was thinking as I read that, maybe that's us this afternoon about 5 or 6 o'clock after all of you leave. No, no. No, I'm just joking. I don't know if that's how Christmas ever feels. But if we're to make Christmas more meaningful, we need to find ways to slow down and quiet our hearts in order to reflect on the message of Christmas. We've been looking these Sundays at the idea of making Christmas meaningful and how to transform trivial pursuits into memorable celebrations. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the idea of following the true star of Christmas, how to avoid the trappings of the season by paying attention to the light of the world, the one who is the light and the life. Last week we talked about honoring the king, the king born in a stable, bringing honor to the king of the universe who came so simply in a stable. I was reading something just the other day in my readings about even about this story of the shepherds. And the message of the angels was, And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. With nothing unusual about a baby. There could be lots of babies in the Bethlehem area. And the swaddling cloths was not unusual, but what made this one unique was lying in a manger. Nobody did that. But that's how Jesus came. We bring honor to the King of the universe. Today we want to focus on the theme of quieting our hearts. Quieting down and spending time away from the busyness in order to hear God's wonderful message of love and reflect on what it means. His love of love and grace that was demonstrated in the sending of His Son into the world. Mary gives us a beautiful example of one who took time to reflect, to ponder, to contemplate the significance of the events that were happening. The events that were happening in her life and the events that were happening around her and were occurring that first Christmas. In the passage we read earlier in verse 19, after the shepherds had come and worshipped her child, bowed down in worship before him, and they had gone away, we read in verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Later on, a number of years later, Jesus was 12 years old. And you remember the incident. It's still in the same chapter. We're told nothing about Jesus' life as a boy. But when he was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem, and he got left behind in the temple by mistake. After they had found him and they're heading back home, we read in Luke 2, verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. She was observing. She was watching. She was listening. And most of all, she was pondering. She was thinking about it. Mary was obviously a contemplative kind of person. Now, when I say that carefully, because we're not talking about some kind of mystical form of meditation or relationship with God. But the fact that she was a person who thought deeply about the events of her life, she took time to wonder and to meditate on the things that were happening and the things that really mattered in life. And I think we could learn something from her. I'd like us to observe some ways that we can quiet ourselves during this season by looking at how Mary handled this whole event. And we need to go back in order to do that, back to chapter 1 and what was happening in her life. Luke chapter 1, and I want to, in order to kind of set the stage or to establish the setting for our reflections this morning, I want to read verses 26 to 38. And then we're going to look at verses 39 and 40. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, and that's a reflection back to what has been said before, it was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary had a lot of things going on in her life at this point. We're not told how long it was before she left. But in verse 39 it says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." First thing we need to do to quiet our hearts for Christmas is to find time and a place away from the busyness. Sometimes we we just need to get away. Mary certainly needed to get away from what was going on in her life. When you think about her situation, she was pregnant, unmarried, but engaged, which was, for the Jewish person of that day, it was far more than an engagement as we think of it today. She was betrothed to be married. She was considered to be married, except that the marriage had never been consummated. They were still living apart. She was probably confused by all that was going on, trying to put it all together. She had a lot of emotional stress going on in her life. And what did she do at this most stressful and difficult season of her life? She seized an opportunity to withdraw for a while. She traveled from her home in Nazareth. Now, she would not have done this by herself. There had to be people going that way that she traveled with, because this was a difficult journey. She traveled from her home in Nazareth, which was up in the northern part of Israel in Galilee, just a little ways west of the Sea of Galilee, down to the hill country of Judea, probably not far from Jerusalem. The place she went to, Zechariah and Elizabeth's place, was a priest, and he had to go every few months into Jerusalem to serve in the temple. He would have lived not far out of Jerusalem in that hill country. It was a journey of probably 80 to 100 kilometers. Which isn't much for us today, but for her, that was a major trip. But in the midst of busyness and stress, she got away. It's always important to find opportunities to remove ourselves from stress at times. Now, that can be a literal place sometimes, away from home. Although for most of us, that probably is not possible or even preferable, especially in the Christmas season. And yet it is possible to be renewed spiritually, to be renewed in our souls by getting away from the stresses of the season. And it may be as simple as withdrawing to a quiet place with a cup of whatever you like, cocoa or cider or coffee or whatever, and a book to read. Or taking time in a quiet place to read the Christmas story from the Bible again, to meditate on the Christ of Christmas and think about the significance of God becoming man. Or it might mean going for a walk to admire the beauty of creation and to clear the mind and the heart of the distractions and think about the Christ, the Creator. Jesus made a habit of getting away to a quiet place for meditation and prayer. I was looking up some of those situations. It was one time when, after a busy day of ministry, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's take this boat and go to the other side." And they got into the boat, and you remember what he did? He went and laid down, and he had to sleep. And then they ran into a storm. There was another time where he sent them ahead in a boat, and it says he went up on a mountain to pray, to spend some time away from people. Quiet your heart for the message. Find a place away from the busyness and the pressures to reflect on God and your own relationship with Him. Then spend time with family and friends. Verse 40. When Mary had gone to the hill country of Judah, it says she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She went to see Elizabeth, her cousin. And it's important to build our celebrations around those who mean the most to us. Now, I know that this is considered by everyone, basically, to be one of the most important emphases of the Christmas season. And yet it can be easily lost in the clamor and the noise and the hustle and bustle of Christmas. You ask most anyone, what is the most significant thing about Christmas, or what's important about Christmas? And besides the fact that we're celebrating the birth of Christ, most everyone will say spending time with family and friends. And yet that can be lost so easily. Shopping for gifts, finding just the right decorations, looking for the all-important tree, unless you take your tree out of a box like we do. But preparing food and baking and all of those things that most of us don't need anyway. All those kind of things can interfere. They can interfere with the relationships that are by far more important than the things and the events of the Christmas season. And then in the midst of all of the confusion and the busyness, when the opportunity comes to be with people who are important to us, someone drops in, it can become an intrusion, an interruption to us. Mary spent time with Elizabeth, and I don't think Elizabeth found it an intrusion in her life. They must have been close. They must have had some kind of connection, even though they lived far apart. And when Mary was overwhelmed with all that was going on in her life, she took time to get away from the pressure and she went to spend it with important family members. And they spent 3 months together. And that's an interesting connection in and of itself. Two women in very similar and yet very different circumstances, both expecting a child. Elizabeth, a woman who was too old to have children. She'd been barren all her life, and now she's expecting a baby. And Mary, who has never had relations with a man, but now she's expecting a baby, and just not much more than a child herself. But they spent this time together. Finding time and a place to get away from the busyness, spending time with family and friends, and then take time to reflect and ponder. Now that may be starting to sound repetitive. Take time. But that's really what it's about. To enjoying the Christmas season is taking time. We live in such a busy world. We're always in a hurry. There's so much to do, so little time to do it. Mary spent 3 months with Elizabeth. If you check the timing in the scripture, she was probably there until just after Elizabeth's baby was born. But I can imagine during those months they had spent a lot of time. They spent a lot of time sharing together of God's goodness and faithfulness. I just talked about how the differences in their circumstances and yet the similarities. And they both knew very clearly the power of God and the faithfulness of God. But Mary was one who pondered what was going on in her life. She thought about it. She meditated on it. She looked to the Lord for significance in what was happening. Again, I refer back to that verse in chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. We need to find time to spend in quiet, to think about the message of Christmas. That's really what Christmas is about, taking time to focus on the blessings, taking time to think about what Christ coming into this world means for us. So as we continue through this Christmas season, sometimes difficult to sit down for a while just to meditate on what's happening, but we need to slow down and quiet our hearts to hear the magnificent message of the Savior's birth, to read it again. It's a story that never grows old. But one of the keys to making Christmas meaningful is to slow down the pace of our lives and to take time to marvel at the wonder of Christmas, to take time to worship and adore the Savior. I want to close the message this morning with a story. This story came out of a little Christmas card kind of thing many years ago, and written by someone named Ruth Eichermann. It's entitled, O Come Let Us Adore Him. And she says, at holiday time each year, local artists paint Christmas scenes on the store windows of our town where my husband and I used to own a store. One year we watched from inside as a young lady began her work. Would it be another Santa Claus, we wondered? First, in one corner of the window, a white lamb was drawn. And gradually, with growing pleasure, we began to see the outline of a human figure. At last, our artist invited us outside to see the finished work. It was a nativity scene of the first Christmas. Mary with the child cradled in her lap. The painting may not have been a masterpiece, but it was so loving that I was moved. Just then, a car drove up and parked down the block. A mother and her four children tumbled out and hurried merrily down the street, pointing with appreciation at the various Santas and snow scenes. When they came to our store, however, one of the children, the littlest one, a boy, lagged behind and stopped. He stood there motionless, gazing at the Christ child as though transfixed. Then the lad rose up on his tiptoes, reached up, and touched the baby's tiny fingers. Oh, the artist gasped, the paint's still wet. And when we looked closer, there was a tiny smudge on the picture's surface. The artist started to repair it, but my husband stopped her. Please leave it, he said. I knew what he meant. So did the artist. She put down the paintbrush. Together we recognized the little smudge as a humble reminder of what Christmas really should be, a time for adoration of the Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Christmas season. Lord, we enjoy so many things at this time of year. Help us to truly appreciate the significance of the season, to take time to ponder, to contemplate the difference in this world because of Christmas, because Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. Lord, fill our minds not with all the stuff that seems to take so much importance at this time of year, the gifts and the decorations and all of that, but fill our minds with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.